You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're having a good day today. Yeah, this is Wednesday, so you got to get over the hump. But I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, you're going to get done, because that's what you do. You always get it done. That's why we love you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs dated and titled. Ah, but you can use the shortcut. Just go to babaoshi.net. 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 And there will be those programs that you can listen to at your pleasure, leisure, or anytime you want. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 8 p.m. to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, last night's program was really good. Doc Rogers, really appreciate it. From 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Last night he had on a good brother, Monroe Swan. He was the first person, first state senator in Wisconsin, Brother Monroe Swan. Good program. Wednesday, tonight, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 tonight. The Black Farmers Report. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday, it's at 7 p.m. on Sunday, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And now that the Kwanzaa season's happening, you know, and all the other holidays, and, you know, you need to be spending money with us. With each other, you know? Try your best to spend money with us. I know I could save more money, but sometimes it ain't about the amount of money you can save, the few dollars here and there. The benefit that it has of maintaining that business and maybe having that business grow and maybe also employing your kids. You never know. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org, Brother Bamani Tayemba, taking IP. I don't have my information up on the computer because I don't know why I came on kind of late because my Wi-Fi is down, but I have a direct line. See, I got the Ethernet. See, I made sure of that because, I mean, you know, Wi-Fi can be really just like right now. So my Wi-Fi is not up. And so I hope everything is well. I hope you're listening and it's all good. But AfricanForTheAfricans.org, Brother Bamani Tayemba, he has trips upcoming, and I'll get those. I know we should be up and running But if you go to Africa for the Africans.org, you will see for yourself what trips are being planned. But also, too, but if you tune in to African Perspectives Friday, this Friday, you'll hear Brother Bomani Taimba. He'll talk about his recent trip to Tanzania and the upcoming tours, and everything that you need is right there on the website. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. HabeshaIncorporated.org and the projects that they have. One of the main projects, of course, is the Kashi Project in Ghana. And the buildings are up. It's happening. But, of course, locally here, even in Atlanta, the Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, just, you know, good agricultural stuff. So HabeshaIncorporated.org. And then, of course, the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. I don't have that because, like I said, my computer's not up. And, of course, BibiaTumi.com. BibiaTumi.com. Brothers, go to BibiaTumi.com and make it a favorite. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, located, and, of course, right across the street from Wadada's is the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, and then up the street is the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, now is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the Shrine of the Black Madonna will be open. And, of course, they have gifts. They have furniture, clothing, jewelry, of course, the books. They had the red, black, and green shoes, and that's got shoes. So, I mean, the Shrine's got it all. But also, too, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar with delicious smoothies and fruit drinks, you know, pastries and bean pie. They also have a vegan fair on Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan food on Saturday and Sunday. So check out Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, and gift certificates, T-shirts, and all kinds of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. If you're looking for a book, give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here. And my good brother Gazem Dejamu, he has a delicious, I mean, what he's done with his space is just tremendous. He has a delicious coffee bar there now, serving teas and my favorite Cameroon Boyo coffee from Cameroon. And so check out Brother Gazem Dejamu. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Afroletics, they have a store in the new Black Wall Street Market, located in Stonecrest, which is a little bit further east, the next exit east of where the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore is. So the next exit east off I-20 here in the Atlanta area. You can check out the new Black Wall Street Market, and you can check out Afroletics. You know, he has the athletic wear with the African themes, the Zulus, the Rebels, the Dogon Starseed, the Omex. Yeah. You check it out. Mm-hmm. So Marcus Garvey. Yeah. So also to my good brother, Sajafo, and his jewelry and artwork beautifully displayed. And my good brother, Mike McGee Jr. They has a store selling CBD. CBD. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Check them out. They're open Tuesdays. So they're open today from Tuesdays to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. He has a fine selection of all kinds of good stuff in this place. It is packed. And he also serves vegan food. Ongoing. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Us Lifting Us. The Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. I got my certificate that I've been paying for you for a long time. Couple certificates from Us Lifting Us. I will always be a member. I believe in collective work. I believe in spending our money to each other. I believe in pulling our money together. It's the only way. It's the only way. Brothers and sisters, if you want to listen tomorrow night, go to blogtalkradio.com. But if you want to call in and listen, that's fine. And if you want to call in and give questions, comments, or concerns. So from 9 to 10 tomorrow night, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, get a hold of my good sister, Shelly Amonset. Give her a call, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located in the International Discount Mall. My good sister, Gabrielle Aurelia, who has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And why don't you go to her website at Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. And you can see the beautiful work that she's doing with the children, with education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurial things that they're doing. So check them out. Akabin Institute located here in Atlanta. You know, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, they truly definitely deserve to be supported. This Saturday, Mama Ya, they have the sixth annual African Warrior Women's Day, and this is for sisters only, celebrating African warrior sheroes. That's this Friday, the 10th, at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9. And of course, it's a Zoom. If you want to give Mama Ya a call, there we go, at 404-753-7237. 404-753-7234. And if you want to contact her, yabaruti@yahoo.com. Okay, and it's $10. For adults and $5 a Zoom on this Friday. And also, too, if you are, you know, Baba Baruti's a prolific writer, his books are on sale. Go to Akabin House, akabinhouse.com. Go to Akabin House, and there will be his books, akabinhouse.com. All right. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I tell you, it's always beautiful to read the Inye Sesim, because many times the Inye Sesim is right on time with what I'm talking about. So, November 7th, come to the water. All who are thirsty, come and drink. Diane Reeves.
Reconciliation with our ancestors and being at peace with the fierce intensity of our righteous struggle requires both a compassionate embrace and enduring remembrance. It requires a knowing, a genuinely contemplating patience with self, as well as with those of us who are not yet us, yet have the honest potential to become us. It requires that we come out of ourselves and accept that even though we're being an individual power to the front line, we cannot become victorious alone. We are many in time and space and have the assistance of all of us. We cannot do this simply with a collective of warriors we have working around the world today. We have to grasp the spiritual fact that our army extends deep in time as well as being far and wide. It crosses countless generations, past, present, and future. All warriors at every time and every place constitute one collective army. Bound by spirit, they extend beyond as far as we can think. Living warriors are the cumulative connection. They are the culmination of all warriors who have ever existed with the beacon for any yet to come. And it is their life on the current active front line that gives them the special duty of calling on the entirety of this circle of energy to bring and to bear on the enemy we face at this particular point in time. It is their turn to reach out to the Creator and all the divinity, to the spiritual source of our power, to all who are worthy, but not just how basically present, for strength and direction. It is their turn to go to the water and drink their fill and return at will to spiritual hydrate. I passionately drink from the river of ancestral wisdom. Affirm, I passionately drink from the river of ancestral wisdom. December 8th. The Alternatives for American Africans, artists, have been quite clear. Either they must work to realize and promote the inherent qualities that make American African arts valuable, functional force in society, or they must become absorbed in the dominant culture of the United States and lose the indigenous values of our African cultural heritage. Samela Lewis. Praise to these artists who have sacrificed the gilded, sheltered benefits of Euro-Negro validated glory to openly embrace and compassionately express their love and sovereignty vision for African people. Their genius is self-evident, and their clothes and their choices reflect the highest of righteous spiritual choices. They have turned their gifts into weapons of the finest expressive caliber, giving us an intellectual and emotional artillery unparalleled as mirrors of our infallible or unfallible souls. As the corrective bearers of our wrath, the imaginary they offer us is a motivation for the gods. Creatively, they are the visual and auditory extension of the depth and breadth of our joy and pain as warriors. They offer up a frontline vision in artistic prayer for all of those of us who do this work to see and feel. As well, they reverently do this for our warrior ancestors, those transitioning yet to come, to see and know that we continue their work and set the stage for its continuance. To them, we owe so much of our emotional sanity, for they are the one of our most vital and dynamic expressions of self-love. Affirm, I feel righteously enraged message our centered artists bring. Affirm, I righteously enraged message. I righteously enraged message our centered artists bring. They feel it. I feel righteously. The Yenye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah. So we do have a guest today. He couldn't make it this past Friday. He was a little under the weather, but he agreed to come today. And so we're always thankful to have as our guest my good friend, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. Brother Franklin Jones, good morning to you.
Good morning, my brother. It's a pleasure to be here. Always an honor to be on your show.
Well, I thank you, man. I thank you for, answering the call when I do, or even calling me up to say you want to talk about something, because it's always good. You been doing all right?
Yes. I'm better now, and I do apologize that I was under the weather last week, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to make it.
No, that's okay, because we're here now, and that's what it's about. Yeah, a lot of things happening. I know around this time and dates, the 13th Amendment was ratified in 1865. What is today? The 8th on the 6th. The 6th. And I thought to myself, so what? So what? You know, the only thing about the 13th Amendment is some of the wording which says that even though this amendment supposedly had freed you, but if you are imprisoned, if you're incarcerated, you will be back into servitude.
Yes.
You know? And so I was like, that's the thing. Who cares? It's just like, the other day I was listening to the news and the British have in their museum something that Ethiopia truly wants back, you know, and it's, I think some writings. I'm not sure exactly what the artifact is, but they want it back. And so Britain said, no, we passed a law. Britain said, no, we passed a law that we can't give you the stuff. We can loan it to you. I'm like, their audacity. We passed the law that we can't give you the stuff that we stole from you, but we can loan it to you. The arrogance of these people, man.
That's what the white man has been doing since the beginning. He's always created laws. Like, take, for example, our Native American brothers. When the white man showed up to their land, they said, by order of President so-and-so-and-so, this land is now declared ours, and you have 48 hours to leave. Based upon their laws, they've always created laws to justify themselves. I mean, even more recent time with the African-Americans, let's look at the crack, the war on drugs. Although when you look at science, there's no true data that show that crack is more dangerous than cocaine. The government created this law, and they said crack is related to more violence, so we're going to enhance the sentencing of those found with crack versus cocaine, which actually makes no sense because the core ingredient is the cocaine. But they created that law because it allowed them to create a justification for mass incarcerating of black people, where a black man was found with 5 pieces of rock within 30 years, a white man found with a briefcase full of cocaine was given 6 years. So the white man has always created laws, narratives, to justify his action. And that's how he's been doing it since day one. And his narratives are not based upon morality. It's based upon his greed, his interest. And that's how he's always been doing it. Yeah. Since the beginning of time, it's been a white man's agenda.
Yeah. That's like when I was, we're going to talk today about critical race theory, CRT, which Caucasians have used to manipulate the minds of everybody, even these Negroes. I mean, when these Negroes argue against critical race theory, it is sad and sickening to me. We're going to talk about that. But one of the pieces I saw on that, it was interesting that they were talking about it, not understanding what it is, and saying, talking about establishing laws against it. And to me, the Caucasian has always, like you said, have written laws to establish his position and always to do whatever he wants to do in his position based upon the laws that he established and the authority he assigns the authority, of course, to him, but to God, to his God, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is sad and sickening. You know, a number of school boards have been arguing this. They don't argue, Brother Franklin, they don't argue or discuss the seriousness of school shootings. There were 200 school shootings this year.
Yes.
They don't argue about that and the issues of guns and so forth, but they argue about shots, masks, and critical race theory, which of course is not taught in any school. Yeah. But this morning I saw a piece where the Caucasian was arguing is about this book, this one book that talks about skin color. And at the beginning of the book, and the person who were debating what he knew about the book, at the beginning of the book, they talk about everybody has different skin colors and so forth. But then there's a part of the book, it's a children's book. At a part of the book, it states a fact. It said that Caucasians, white people, invented this concept of race.
Yes.
They went out, they invented the concept of race and giving themselves a top position with everybody else at a lower position with us. As black people, dark-skinned people, at the lowest position. That's why around the world, people who are deeply melanated are most shunned, are most discriminated, you know? See?
You know, you're absolutely right. And during the height of the slave trade, when to justify their enslavement of the Africans, they started putting out all these negative false propaganda to say that the Africans were uncivilized savages. So therefore, we are bettering the Africans by enslaving them. And that trend has continued for 500 years, where they continue to keep these narratives. And the reason why they also refused to acknowledge that the Egyptians were Africans, because the achievements achieved by the Egyptians couldn't be hidden. So they said the Egyptians were European, you know? And so these narratives have continued for four centuries. Now, why are we talking about all this? This all connects to the educational system. The white man laid down narratives that lays down the foundation of the myth of his racial superiority. If the white man removes allows critical race theory, and we start gaining a clearer and more accurate version of history, the myth of white superiority is eroded. In fact, the educational system is the first place where they start socializing us to believe in white superiority. During our education development, white children are being socialized to believe that they are inherently superior and are therefore supposed to rule over others. Non-whites are being socialized to believe that they are inherently inferior and are supposed to be ruled over by whites. So therefore, they want to protect that. Most of us don't understand the socializing that's being done in our school systems. I'm going to give you an example. Remember when we were little kids and they would teach us that George Washington was cut down a cherry tree? And he said, "I cut down a cherry tree, but I cannot tell a lie." You know? So the story is a totally fictional one, but why teach it to kids? The reason why they taught it to us is because it was teaching us to revere the founding fathers. They found a way to create sort of a nursery rhyme to socialize us. So from the beginning, our minds are being shaped to revere Caucasians and to marginalize ourselves. Now, all of this is by design, because social science says that people function based upon the narratives that they believe about themselves. Okay? So the narratives that are fed into our society are designed to falsely exalt whites and to falsely marginalize black people. And it begins during our school system. They begin from the age of five, from pre-K to the age of 18, we are being indoctrinated with an educational system that were being subconsciously conditioned to revere whites. You know, so as the, everybody say, the system of white supremacy sits upon a throne of lies, and their objective is to protect those lies. And it's so, and what's so cunning about these people, here's a narrative that they're using to justify what their fight. They're fighting against us, against bringing critical race theory to school. Hear what they say. They're so cunning. They said, our goal is this. We don't want black children to believe that they're victims. That is wrong to have black children believe that they're victims. And we don't want white kids to believe that they're evil. So that's why we're fighting against it. But no, the truth they're fighting against is because they, to maintain white supremacy, they have to continue that socializing process that has been embedded into our minds from the age of 5 to 18. We are being socialized to think in ways that holds the system of white supremacy.
Well, you know, this indoctrination mm-hmm. has been going on for quite some time all over yes. the world. All over the world. You know, Dr. John Henry Clark said, Europeans had a chance to unite the world. When they came out of that dark age, that medieval age, land poor, resource poor, and people poor, they took it out mm-hmm. on the world, you know.
Yeah.
And they had a chance to unite the world, but they chose to exploit it and colonize it and yes. enslave it instead. And, mm-hmm. and what they did was so evil and so devious. So, you know, like today when I was listening to this program, this Caucasian talking about, you know, our kids feel bad. We're gonna make white kids feel bad about, you know, yes. and then make black kids feel inferior. I mean, the bottom line is you did this. It's not like we're making something up. You know, this is what you've done. You know, talking about white people invented the concept of race. Yeah, you did. It's documented. You have Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach inventing this concept of race, categorizing human beings, stratifying them in these
brother,
racial categories.
Yes. Brother, they know they did it. When they're saying those narratives, they know they did it. Those narratives are merely used to deflect. They're used to deflect. It's a gaslighting technique to protect their position. When you know you don't have a true position, you gaslight the opponent. You throw the deflecting narrative. Mm-hmm. When they say they don't want white kids to grow up feeling evil or the black kids to feel like they're victims, those are false deflective narratives. They know what they did.
Right.
Because it wasn't an accident. It was achieved through social engineering by social scientists. They know what they did. So what they're doing now is they're giving us these flexing narratives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often black people, we would come together and we would bring some literature we read from white sources. And we would defend those literature. And even though the literature exalts whites and marginalizes us, we defend it as truth. We've been socialized not to question.
Right.
But the thing is, every black person who is serious about liberation needs to study social science. And he has to realize why the white society whitewashed history. Okay? The history we are taught is not history. Okay? Now, the white society says, white historian says, it's customary for conquerors to rewrite history to favor themselves. And they keep pushing that narrative like it's okay. But there's actually a social science behind it. The history we are taught is actually Orwellian propaganda. Orwellian propaganda are misinformation, distortion of facts, denials of truth, and even the manipulation of the past to falsely exalt the white society. Everything they teach us is distorted to exalt themselves and marginalize us. Even their maps. When you see a map print in the Western Hemisphere, they make Africa appear 13 times smaller than its true size, and they make all white countries significantly larger than their true sizes. We'll always be severely downloaded with messages that are designed to instill the myth of white superiority and black inferiority into our subconscious minds. Many times we'll read stuff and it has black people with a lowercase b and white people with an uppercase W. White is uppercase.
All this by design. Yeah. Here, let me, I'm going to play.
By design. And then subliminally, it instills within us the myth of white inferiority. Now, social sciences justify it. They describe this as merely instilling a value system into the subconscious mind of the subordinate population that makes them adhere to the authority and existing infrastructure of the dominant culture. And they justify this because they said it is the duty of the government to ensure to prevent dissent from rising amongst the subordinate population against the status quo. They said to not to do so would be irresponsible as a government. This is the reality. We're being conditioned. You know, when we go speak into a room and there's a room full of white people and we feel subconscious. Oh, it feels funny. That's not a damn slave syndrome. That's not Willie Lynch. That's the fact that we've been socialized. You know, our people need to understand that there are sciences that are required to maintain dominance, and there are sciences that are used for the long-term oppression of the people. People are not normally conditioned to accept the dominance of other racial groups in their lives.
Right.
They have to be conditioned to do so. We are being conditioned.
I want to play something for you since you mentioned about the maps. And this is interesting. This is, once again, you know, this is a Caucasian saying this because there are some of our people who would only believe, they don't want to listen to us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they will believe Caucasians because they've been conditioned to believe that if Caucasians say it, then it must be true. You know.
Yes. Yeah. Before you play that, I want to show you something, how cunning the white man is. Even when we think that we're using a narrative that exalts one of us, sometimes we're marginalizing our true contributions. I'll give you an example. The narrative that Lewis Latimer improved the light bulb by adding the filament, that narrative actually diminishes Lewis Latimer. Here is the true narrative, the truth. Lewis Latimer and Thomas Edison were both simultaneously working on a light bulb together. Lewis Latimer had his own light bulb. Thomas Edison had his own. But Thomas Edison merely rushed to have his light bulb patented first. However, once his light bulb was patented, no companies purchased it because it was deemed not efficient enough. It dimmed lit very dimly and only lasted a few minutes. However, once Lewis Latimer patented his light bulb, it was deemed efficient enough. It was purchased and mass produced, and he was sent around the world overseeing the installation of his light bulbs. So the fact is, it is a black man who lit the world up. But because of the evidence of him, the white man twists as well. He adds a filament to the light bulb. They twist it to still make it appear to diminish Lewis Latimer. Lewis Latimer's light bulb is the light bulb that lit up the world. Edison patents an inferior one and no one purchases it. But our history books give him credit because for lighting up the world because he was white. He patents light bulb first, but he didn't light up the world. And why is this so important? Because we function based upon the narratives that are fed into our minds. So the white society constantly feeds us false narratives that exalts themselves and marginalizes us, and we function based upon it. And this starts doing, this begins during our education. It's called socialized. They begin socializing us during our early education development when our minds are young and most impressionable. Social scientists create that. And then white propagandists, they reinforce our socializing throughout our entire lives through unrelenting media subliminal programming, through propaganda. So the white man is fighting to hold on to don't want critical thinking in school because that's where the socializing begins. That's where the socializing that protect white supremacy begins. That's why he's fighting so hard against that. Mm-hmm. That's why he's not fighting about our school shootings, but he's fighting about the educational curriculum. Because the stopping the school shooting or the school shooting continues, that doesn't erode white supremacy. But if we able to change the educational curriculum, that is where white supremacy begins to erode. Because the white man's power is his monopoly over narratives and his monopoly over our minds. He don't want to release his monopoly over what we believe. That's his core power.
Mm-hmm.
You better play something. I'm sorry.
Right. I wanted to play this thing on the maps. I know that I presented this sometime many years ago in terms of how people have drawn maps, the Peters projection and the Mercator projection, and how they were, I think it was the Peters projection which was wrong, which had Europe and Asia, they're just looking huge, yeah. And Africa was very small, but in essence, mm-hmm. It was all the way around. But here's a piece.
Let me show you something. This is the world map, and this is wrong. What if I told you that from here to here, it's 6,400 kilometers, but from here to here, which only looks like half the size, is 7,200. The continent of Africa has been shown smaller than it actually is. What if I told you that Greenland was only this size, or Russia was this size, or the US and Canada were much smaller? You know what? This is the real map. Look at Sweden, Finland, and Norway. They're much smaller now. Or Greenland is tiny. Maybe it wasn't practical, but it seems unfair towards Africa. Why haven't we been told this in school?
Because, once again, just as you said, they have a narrative that they want to perpetuate of Africa in itself, not just being diminished in size, but diminished in terms of its influence.
Everything. They diminished everything about us. I'll give another example. You know when you see the picture of the Darwin evolutionary chart? Whenever you see that chart in color, the white man's face is placed upon the highest evolved Homo sapien.
Right.
And the lowest evolved Homo sapien is always black skin. This conveys that black people are the lowest evolved in the human family, and the white man is the highest evolved in the human family. Every time we see those images, we don't realize it affects us because we're seeing the highest and the lowest, the highest and the lowest, and the lowest have the black skin. But here are the facts. Africans are not even included in the Darwin evolutionary chart. And it's been scientifically proven. Africans have always been Homo sapiens. Now, whatever the white man did, the white man removed himself from the Neanderthals and attached himself to the Africans and claimed himself as being the highest evolved Homo sapiens. Now, here's the next fact. Europeans share more physical characteristics with Neanderthals than they presently do Africans. Presently do. But to give themselves a Homo sapien origin, they separate themselves from the Neanderthals and say they are the highest evolved Homo sapiens. And some black people have been so brainwashed to revere Caucasian, we feel proud. We say, we're proud to say they come from us. But if you knew that, hello?
I'm here.
Okay, if you knew that true history, you would vomit by the thought of saying they come from us. Science has shown that white skin, that Caucasians are not African albinos. Well, Caucasian white skin is a result of Neanderthal DNA. What the white man does, he always distorts narrative to exalt him. And then we function.
Well, I believe this. I believe on this because there wasn't a different evolutionary process. What it was human beings began, and because of migration and being cut off by the ice age, their DNA changed.
Allow me to respond to that.
Hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish first. Their DNA changed, okay, which caused them to physically look different and behave differently because of the environment that they were in. Human beings adapt to environment. Human beings began in Central East Africa. Some of the oldest bones are even further south than that of humanity, of human being, Homo sapiens sapiens. And then has
you
they...
You agree with me. Do you know it, right? I'm agreeing with everything you're saying.
Right.
However, listen to this, please.
Okay.
The theory that Caucasians turned white as a result of going to the colder climate has been totally debunked by science. Many of us are functioning off of these narratives we've been following for 30 years. But once DNA science came, once they developed DNA, DNA has opened our eyes to a whole world of information. And so many of us are not following the DNA. There are white scientists, white lecturers, white books who say the same thing I'm saying. And here's what else they show. They show that this, if they said, if we are of the same species, first of all, this, Neanderthals are not a part of the human, did not come from Africa. It said that Neanderthals evolved separately from the Africans.
Okay, see, now, Let me finish.
I've been studying the white man. Let me finish now.
No, I have too. Let me finish.
The word here with souls is off. Now, I say, I've been studying this for 35 years. I'm studying the white man for 35 years. Here it is. The word Homo sapien coming out of Africa is a fact. You see how they put it? The white man's propaganda mixed a little bit of truth with his lies.
Mm-hmm.
When you mix truth with lies, the lies become more powerful. Here's the deal. Yes, Homo sapiens come out of Africa. Africans are the true Homo sapiens. DNA has proven that chocolate-colored skin and woolly hair are the traits of Homo sapien DNA. But DNA has now proven that Caucasians are not albinos who turn white as a result of the colder climate.
Hold on, brother. They didn't turn albino. Albinos are found in many parts of the world. Okay. That is something that people lack pigment. They lack pigment.
Yeah.
Okay, but what is said is over the periods of time, because they were cut off
You're
by the Ice
theory,
Age.
I'm presenting a fact. You're presenting a theory. I'm presenting a fact.
Well, let me say this to you, dear brother. It's a fact.
Theory.
No, it's a fact. It's a fact.
I haven't read or seen
anything that says that
you have
that Europeans
I have too research and you never read it.
I have too.
And
I'm saying to you and I'm saying to you they're not a different human species than what other human what other Homo sapiens are. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not. Okay, go ahead.
The Darwin evolutionary chart. If you study the primate chart, the primate chart evolved separately from Africans. The Africans are not primates. Africans did not evolve from primates. DNA science has proven that Africans that the Neanderthals evolved separately from the Africans. Also, white people teaches you and science teaches you that when the Africans left and traveled throughout Europe, they encountered thousands of white-skinned Neanderthals. Now, here's what we're getting tricky. Now, listen. What the white man has done, he has separated himself from those white-skinned Neanderthals that the Africans encountered. He separated himself from them and said that they all are extinct. And he said he is an African who turned white. He twists the narrative. That's what I'm trying to tell to you. Science has now shown that the prime apes evolved separately from Africans. This is scientifically proven. But the white man says that those primates are all extinct, and what he is an African who turned white. Now, whatever someone who despises you say come from you, or whatever someone who is otherwise racist towards you says he come from you, it is somehow benefiting himself. The white man created the narrative that he is an African who turned white, and that he is a superior evolved African because it benefits himself. when in reality, the white man is a prime ape. This is what science now shows. Mm-hmm. And here's another research that confirms this. When whenever a black woman goes to a doctor because she's pregnant, the doctor asks what race is the baby. And they ask what race is the baby because if the father is Caucasian, she has to be given a shock because the African woman body often tries to abort the baby. Now, they say that not been for this biological condition, we'd have had more mulattoes born during slavery. Okay? They said as a result of this biological condition within the African woman's body, the reason why our numbers were not higher, we'll have more mulattoes than we have. Now, science says the fact that an African woman body tries to abort the European baby is also a fact that we are a different species. Now, that scientist, combined with the fact of the Neanderthals, once they did DNA, they found that Caucasian white skin is a result of Neanderthal DNA. They found a Caucasian hair type are the result of Neanderthal DNA. The science did not find the science did not find that Caucasians are Africans who turn white due to migrating to the colder climate. The scientific fact showed that white skin is Neanderthal. And the white man merely separated himself from Neanderthals, saying that they're all extinct, and said that he is the highest evolved African to give himself a Homo sapien origin. That's the lie he fooled the world.
Okay.
He has the world believing that he is the highest evolved Homo sapien, and we are the lowest. When in reality, the Africans are not even included on that chart, and the white man is not the highest evolved African. He is. Science shows now he is a Neanderthal.
Okay, so I like that. And I know I heard you say this before, and we had discussion on this before as well. I like that. I understand that, you know. But I disagree. I disagree because human beings, Homo sapiens sapien, and from whatever I read and people I've talked to, migrated out of Africa. And
that's
what
true.
Makes human beings different? Because what you're saying is they are separate. They evolve separately, magically.
Yes.
Magically. That's what you're saying. That they evolve separately. Everybody evolves. Hold on. Let me finish. I'll let you talk.
Okay. I'm writing some facts. I'll give you some facts.
Everybody evolved. Everybody evolved, but everybody evolved from us. Everybody evolved from Africa. No?
No. Homo sapiens come from Africa. See, this is how the white man, you're speaking to me
so then,
based
so,
upon
so,
narratives.
So then, hold on.
Listen, you are speaking to me based upon narratives that you have been conditioned to believe for years, okay? Once DNA science comes, if you're not following the latest science since DNA came out, you're following what we've been taught since the 70s, the 80s. If you're not following DNA science, you're following the old stuff. The new science shows. Now, you say that humans came out of Africa. Yes, they're playing on the word Homo sapiens. We are the humans. We are the Homo sapiens. Yes, the white man mixed a little bit of truth with the lie to make his lie stronger. Yes. But however, here's a fact. Here's a scientific fact. The scientific fact has found that primates evolved separately from Africans. Science has found that when Africans left Africa, we encountered primates. We have counted thousands of white-skinned primates. But the white man narrative has said that all those primates that our African ancestors encountered, and even though those primates look more like them, the white man created a narrative that those primates are all extinct. And what he is a superior evolved African. That has been disproven. The narrative benefits himself. He makes himself, he attached himself to us to give him a Homo sapien origin. But science has shown his white skin is Neanderthal DNA. Science has shown science also shown this. Science also proves that prime apes evolve separately from Africans.
Hold on now. So then, human beings didn't evolve from lower forms to a higher form. You're saying, so we automatically, we just evolved right straight up, Homo sapiens sapiens, straight up as you see. It wasn't that we evolved from a primate kind of existence.
You keep saying we evolved is the white man. Is that
no, no, I ain't talking about the white man. I'm talking about we as human beings.
I'm talking about
we as human beings. We as human beings. That's how I look at it. I don't think that they were evolved differently because there's no evidence to that fact. There is evidence, Frank.
And
I hope our listeners are too. And I hope
this is how we're going to do this.
I'm going to talk and make a point, then you talk and you make a point. So that's how we got to do this, okay? So then, and so in that way, our listeners will understand.
I got you, brother. You're right.
Right. Where each point is, at. So we can't talk over each other, so they can understand where our points are.
I'm just excited. I'm just excited. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. So now, first I'll tell you, let me do this. Let me take a break. When we come back from the break, then we'll have further discussion on what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're
right
going to be going with this one, bro.
Okay.
Hey, on your break, put your boots on. Okay.
Pardon?
On this break, put your boots on. Put your fighting boots on.
Okay, my brother. I'm going to come out swinging. All right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
That's all right. Everything's a mess.
You're listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. Followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. And on Fridays, it's Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 to 9 on Saturday, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're talking today with my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. If you don't friend him on Facebook, you should. The Black People's Matrix. That's how we met, through the memes that he puts out. They're outstanding. They're very thought-provoking. But at this moment, we were talking about earlier critical race theory. And, of course, ain't no damn thing it's critical race. It's critical that we understand and deal with race because of how it affects us, you know. But the bottom line is that Caucasians, just like the character in, as I said this many times, in A Few Good Men, played by Jack Nicholson, Colonel Nathan Jessup, he's, as he told to Tom Cruise, you can't handle the truth. And they can't. They can't handle the truth. So that's why they, you know, just like, what was that, Condoleezza Rice talking about, I don't want the little white kids to be upset.
because you're trying to say that white people are bad, and I don't want the black kids to be upset to tell them that they have no future, they have no choice, that they're dumb. Please, y'all did this, and y'all continue to do it. So, but then we're also talking about DNA, human existence, and human evolution. And so we're talking about how human beings evolved. And I know Brother Franklin has an idea that about the Neanderthals, how they evolved. I'm saying in a simplistic way that human beings evolved out of Central East Africa, migrate from that point. And what makes us different as human beings is the ability to adapt to the environment. The Neanderthal DNA became strong up in Europe and in the eastern parts of Asia because of the climate, because of the conditions. They had to mutate. See, they're mutants. I mean, that's just real. They are. They're mutants, you know, and well, they are. They are. Because when they talk about DNA, African DNA is dominant. It's dominant. Theirs is recessive. Theirs is recessive, and I think that's another part of why they feel they have, just like Francis Crest Welsing said, they recognize that when they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, they were also having sex with the females, and the offspring did not look like them, which caused an innate fear of genetic annihilation, that if they continue to do this, that then they would not be. You know, it's just like people talk about, what do Caucasians love most? What did Adolf Hitler try to make Caucasians love most? Blonde blue eyes. Well, blonde blue eyes, when you see blondes today, they're not blondes. They're bleach blondes. In fact, if you see them blonde, a few weeks later, you'll see their dark roots. Very few, they're blondes and redheads, those numbers, just like Caucasians' numbers, are dwindling. They are dwindling. They have been experiencing negative population growth for a few decades. One Caucasian wrote a book called The Decline of the West. Ben Wathenberg, I think his name was, a European Jew, Decline of the West. And so did Pat Buchanan, realizing that their numbers. And so therefore, that's why when people like me and others, and I know like Brother Frank, we talk about, you know, these people are fearful of genetic annihilation, and they're also talking about population control, Fauci what's the Caucasian name? Sometimes his name escapes me, but Bill Gates talking about population control. And they're saying it in a way, because the world is not overpopulated. There's plenty of space for humanity. But whose humanity do they want there? Not the human family. They want their humanity. And so therefore, they want to decrease the populations, particularly of those who can genetically annihilate them. You know, but let's get back to our discussion on the human development and how human beings evolved.
Baba Oshi, you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh.
Baba Oshi, you know I love and respect you. But at this point, I plan to whoop your ass. Now, brother,
okay,
you are speaking to me based upon your indoctrinated mind. And you believe that your perceptions equals my facts. So when I say facts and you say perception, you think they're both the same. No. So when you speak from this point on, I don't want to hear nothing except I think is my understanding, or I want you to say scientific evidence shows this. Everything you present to me, I want it to be scientific evidence shows this. You know why I say that? Because there is no scientific evidence that confirms that Caucasians are Africans. That's for the theory, nothing more than a theory. No facts behind it. Now, when you know the propensity, the proclivity of the white society, and you want to, you're sitting here debating their theory when there's no scientific facts behind it. And within the last 25 years with DNA science, those theories have been destroyed. And you're still so indoctrinated with those theories, as you said, it's my perception, everyone knows, and you're muddying the water. When you keep saying everyone knows that humans come from Africa, human beings, the word human being has been muddied. The word human being has been deliberately been muddied. The white man has made himself the highest evolved homo human being when the science shows that the white man comes from the Neanderthals, the primates, the evolved. That's why science shows that Africans, that real people don't understand, it's been scientifically, and listen to how I started that, it's been scientifically proven that Africans are not a part of the Darwin evolutionary chart. Scientifically proven, okay? It's also been scientifically proven that the Neanderthals evolved separately from the Africans, totally separately. What the white man has done, and which you're functioning based upon, which has been indoctrinated to you, the white man created the narrative that all of those primates are gone. And what he is the highest evolved African. Now, but there's no facts behind that. You're saying a premise, a theory, and a premise and a theory that started from your conquerors. And you're arguing with your brother based upon narrative that you learned from your conquerors. But your mind is so indoctrinated, you can't see it. The white man created a narrative that he is the superior evolved homo sapiens, that he is the highest evolved African, because to give himself a homo sapien origin. But there are scientific facts that support what I'm saying, but everything supporting what you're saying are nothing more than theories. So your theory does not equal my facts, regardless of how long those theories been indoctrinated into your mind.
Well, where did you get your facts from?
The white man, the same one who said that the Egyptians were Europeans, are the same ones who taught you that he's an African.
You know, what I'm saying is, right.
When you study the white man, okay, well, what I learned a long time ago, when I was in the military, there was a thing that says, what you do, when people would say to us that when some information is coming from the white man, how do we know what is true and what is not true? In the military, they teach you study a targeted population, and you learn their proclivity. Now, once you study the white man's proclivity for deceit, his narcissistic personality, when you receive information from the white man, when you apply your understanding of his proclivities, of his racism, and his narcissistic personality, it helps you to decipher what to accept. Now, the white man we know thinks he's superior to black people. The white man we know despises black people. We know the white man's one who created all the negative propaganda for the 500 years. Everything negative believed about Africans comes from the white man. Now, when this white man who's been denigrating our image for 500 years now turn around and says, oh, we come from Africans. Those who despise us are telling the world they come from us. That don't make no damn sense.
Hold on. Okay, now.
And the science shows.
Okay, hold on.
I know we've been born in the story.
Okay, hold on, Brother Franklin.
Let me say one thing. The receptive mutant comments you made, that comment has been used for so long and people buy into it. Just like how many people buy into the story that the African woman has a mysterious gene in her and she's able to produce all life because they see a picture on YouTube of an albino baby when in reality, all races produce albino babies. Albino babies is not proof that Europeans came from us.
Here's something let me finish this particular piece because I just found a piece here. In most recent studies and mathematically rigorous studies to date determining whether Neanderthal contributed to the evolution of modern humans. A team of anthropologists examining the skulls of modern humans and Neanderthals, as well as 11 existing species of non-human primates, found strong evidence that Neanderthals differ so greatly from Homo sapiens as to constitute a different species. The findings could potentially put to rest the decades-long debate between proponents of the regional continuity modern model of human origins, which maintains that Neanderthals are subspecies of Homo sapiens, which contributed significantly to the evolution of modern Europeans, and the single origin model, which views Neanderthals as a separate, distinct species.
The research will be published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The science led by Catherine Harvey of New York University used new technique known as geometric metamorphotrics to measure the degree of variance between and amongst living primate species presented by over 1,000 specimens. The scientists measured 15 standard landmarks on each of the skulls and used 3D analysis to superimpose each one in order to measure their shape and differences in respect of size. Random samples were chosen from each species and the differences between them were calculated 10,000 times in order to simulate the sampling effects of the fossil record. The data used included Neanderthal fossils, upper Paleolithic European modern human fossils, and recent human populations, as well as data from the got a lot of background here. Go ahead.
Okay, what you just read, we must remember that those who control information, they have an agenda to protect the narrative that they've created that perpetuates white superiority. I'll never forget that. Also, what you've just read is deliberately written in a manner which those of us who speak in a layman term may have difficulty fully understanding. They deliberately muddied the water. But here is the story, here's a fact that you can look at the whole story. Now, the fact has been proven that Homo sapiens is not a part of that evolutionary chart, a totally separate one. You see, what they do is, yes, the narrative shows that the Neanderthals are distinctly separately, but the science has shown that the Homo sapiens are not a part of that evolutionary chart. Not at all. That's been proven, scientifically proven. We Africans are not a part of the European chart. Now, what the Europeans are doing and their mouthfeel of information, they're muddying the water. Yes, there is a subgroup. They are separate. But they claim themselves to be that they are not those people. They are African Homo sapiens. They separate themselves from those people. And there are white scientists, white authors, who go to this conference every year. And when they push these facts, they are deliberately closed out by the white institutions because it doesn't fit the narrative that benefits the system of white supremacy. But there are no facts behind what they say. Now, what you just read, most of us are listening to you and we're hearing, and I see what you're looking for in it. But yes, it shows us the Neanderthals, the primates, evolved separately from the Africans. That's the fact I'm saying. But what you're not getting is the fact that those are facts, a separate, distinct, different groups. But what the white man has done, he has taken the narrative that Homo sapiens, when we left Africa and traveled out the world, that those white people are us. They create that narrative. There's no facts behind the narrative. And that's always been a theory that has now been disproven.
See, well, let me,
that's
okay,
the white man's
okay,
narrative,
okay.
And it benefits
okay,
him.
Okay.
It benefits himself.
Okay, okay, okay. So the other piece is that when I looked at, and I agree with you, when I looked at human species and human adaptability to environments, I looked at today even, the further north you go in Europe, the more pale and blonde and so forth, the further south you go, the darker skin, the Italians and so forth. You see that? Then going east, you see the Asians, the Mongols, you see Chinese, you see people because as they encountered higher elevations and the precipitation comes down as snow. If it snowed today, tomorrow it's sunny. When we walk outside, what we'll be doing? We'll be squinting because of the glare of the sun off the snow causes you to. And so therefore Chinese, you know, through their evolution developed a mechanism for survival. How okay. Do their eyes get like that? The same with Asians. So then also too, looking at the, what is now called Australia and the people there who were indigenous called Aborigines, how do they look? They have a stocky body And they have hair. They have stringy hair. But they have African features. They have nose, big lips, very, very melanated skin. Why? Because during the day, the air is hot and airy. But at night, it is very cool. You know?
Let me ask you a question.
So these are things for human survival. You adapt. Okay, because if you don't adapt, you die.
Okay, I'm listening to your theories and your speculations. Okay, I hear you. Now, if your theories and your speculations and your beliefs are correct, then why is it that we have Eskimos whose skin are still dark brown in the snow, who still got jet black hair, and their nose are still broad, but they are living in snow? They used to live in igloos.
You know,
they do ice fishing.
Hold on.
The skin is about to turn white.
Hold on. You said the key word right there, fish. I asked this question because I introduced Dr. Ivan Van Sertima at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society to our community, yes, who gave a presentation. And I asked them the question, basically what you just said. And he said the reason why that these people have maintained their melanin is because of fish in their diet. There was no fish in the diet of these other people, particularly in Europe. There's no fish. But the fish oil, and that's why they maintain that.
You're saying that no Europeans eat fish?
At that time,
you know,
no.
Do you know that European cities next to oceans, and they live off of fish, and
no,
they're still white?
No, at that time. We're talking about more contemporary time. We're talking about early on development. We're talking about early on.
I didn't get a chance to respond. Because you spoke a long time. Let me say something, please. You just said that that when you asked that man, why is it that the Eskimos still are melanated, even though they've been living in snow for God knows how long?
Right.
He said, let me finish. He said, oh, it's because the fish. Now, and I hear this. I live in Europe for 3 years. Now, hold on. There are European countries and European places where they do have access to fish. Now, those Europeans are eating fish forever, and their skin are still white. That person, when you asked him that question, he gave you an answer to fit his theory, to fit his premise. Now, when you talk about these deviations of different Europeans, now, those deviations could have been a result of those primates moving in separate areas, those primates being in different regions. But the primate white color is not a result of Africans moving to Europe. That deviation is among themselves, nothing to do with us. They are not of us. Science shows it.
Okay,
there's no science behind it. That's been a theory, and they've been using it. Then we get caught up in the, you know, we had an episode. We call them recessive, and we're dominant. And yeah, that's certainly popular. That's been for a long time. And so we said that's what they are. They're the recessive version of us. But in reality, Caucasian skin color is not the result of a recessive African. Science has shown they're not recessive Africans. Their skin color is a result of Neanderthal primate DNA, and Neanderthals evolved separately from the Africans. The white man created a narrative that he is an African, and he is a superior African, and he used it to perpetuate his racial superiority over us. The same one who told you that he's an African is the same one who told you that all the Egyptians were white.
Okay.
You're speaking from your indoctrination.
So then, it seems to say from you that human beings evolved differently. They didn't evolve in one place and migrate, as has been shown by science of migrations over a period of time. That has been said by Dr. Shekhanta Jop and other scientists that they evolved separately, is what you're saying. They evolved. There were no human. So human beings. Or Neanderthal, because they're like human beings, you know. In fact, the theory is, correct me if I'm wrong, because you know, that Homo sapiens mated Homo sapiens mated Neanderthals out of existence, made Neanderthals extinct.
Okay,
but the Neanderthal, hold on. But the DNA, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the DNA of Neanderthal is only in Caucasians and some Eastern Asians. Okay? So I'm saying is that what you're saying is that they, you know, is that human beings evolved separately. There was no migration or no need for migration.
No, I didn't say that. But okay. Allow me to reply. You're going to say something, allow me to reply to you, because you said something very key. I need to reply to you before I forget it.
Okay.
You
okay.
Said, yes, it's very important what you said, and let me say why fresh. You just said that the Africans went into Europe, and we made them out of existence, okay? Now, let's think now. The Africans had the intelligence and sophistication and logistics to travel thousands of miles over the caravans. And then they encountered these Neanderthals who were not civilized, who did not have the logistics, the intelligence, who were obviously stank and smelly. And the white man wants us to believe that those intelligent, logistic Africans were so taken by those funky, smelly Neanderthals that we screwed them out of existence? Think, brother. Think. Now, let's be real. If you intelligent and logistic enough, to travel, you got to bring enough food, enough resources. You have to have a degree of intelligence to take a caravan to traveling around the world.
I ain't talking about a caravan. I'm talking about human migration. I'm not talking about an exploration. Okay, I'm talking about human migration. Human migration is different than a caravan.
Let me finish. Now, let's use human. Let's use common sense. Let's use critical thinking. Critical thinking is how we emancipate ourselves from mental slavery, okay? Now, if a people are sophisticated enough to travel thousands of miles out of Africa and travel around the world, these people have to have a degree of sophistication to do so. They have to have a degree of logistics to do so. They have to make sure they carry enough food, enough supplies, so there's a degree of intelligence with these people.
No, wait a minute. Let me cut you off again, brother, because I'm not talking about, I'm talking about migrations. People leaving where they have lived because maybe now there's no more food. They need to go someplace where there's better water, better conditions, so they continue to migrate over hundreds of thousands of years. I ain't talking about a damn caravan of exploration. I'm talking about a human migration.
You are functioning based upon narratives that you were taught, not facts. Okay? Now, when the Africans first encountered the Europeans were savages. Okay? The Europeans, so you have this thing, I know we always see the science book. You imagine these Africans just walking. That's what you call migrating. The white man had diminished the African's travel to that we were low life, walking, looking for a better place. The Africans traveled out of Africa using logistics and intelligence. The white man, every time he draws a picture, he draws a picture of these primitive black people walking out of Africa. That's his narrative. And that's the narrative he's presenting before me. The Africans were an intelligent civilization and it required logistics. When the Africans encountered the Neanderthals were primitive and smelly and hairy. Africans introduced a bat to Europeans. Even the Queen of England issues up. You take a bat once a year. Now, so to believe that these civilized, these intelligent people would see these Europeans and know the hygiene was bad, know the smell was bad, know they got these beautiful sisters back home with a big booty, and we looked at those Europeans who was unsavaged, and we screwed them out of existence. Think.
Listen
to what the white man says. This matter benefits white supremacy. Here's why. The white man says when the Africans came to Africa, they encountered the Neanderthals. Then the Neanderthals all extinct and vanished. But reality, that's a white man's narrative. By saying that all the Neanderthals vanished, he was able to then say that he came from the Africans.
Are you getting, Please, don't let me cut you off again. Let me say this.
Go ahead.
Information that, unfortunately, that we get all comes from Europeans. They're doing the research. So don't talk about my narrative. I would rather listen to talk from Dr. Sheikh Anjou Diop, Ivan Van Sertima, and other anthropologists and other scholars. I don't care about what crackers say. I'm just trying to understand. We got some callers. Let me get a caller in. Brother Paul, is that you? No, that ain't Brother Paul. That's okay, not Brother Paul. Let me get 646. Let me get 646. Good afternoon.
Boogie Woogie Band is on fire today.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, that's right. Franklin Boogie, Jones is on fire.
It's been so long since Franklin Boogie Woogie Jones. I've heard his voice, and now I can remember the absolute passion that the man has with talking about the no good, filthy, stinking cracker. Oh, Boogie Woogie, how you been, baby? How you been?
Fantastic, my brother. Thanks for calling in. Fantastic.
Hey, listen, Franklin, the reality of all that you say is fine and dandy. But at this present time, and at this present stage, in regards to dealing with the so-called African, I'm going to put it to you straight up, bro. We need to get our sugar, honey, ice tea together. Because if you're just talking about the response and the behavior of the so-called American, Negro, African, or whatever you would like to refer them to, we going effing backwards. We being manipulated, we being used, and we being placed in a trick bag to where the point is, we about to face Jim Crow 2.0, and we don't even see it coming. And we just going along with it, because I don't know what it is. Could it be our love of the Neanderthal, or the fact that we've just lost our way? But that's what we need to be focusing on, how we going to survive our existence on this planet moving forward. Because we in trouble, brother.
Okay, I'll say this. In order for us to truly move forward, we must gain a clear and accurate understanding of our psychic condition, because if our understanding is flawed, then all remnants that stem from those essentials also be flawed. But Brother Oshie just said, he quoted Dr. Sheik Atta Diop. Dr. Sheik Atta Diop died more than 35 years ago, okay? When we're quoting someone who died over 35 years ago, we're not benefiting ourselves, okay? There's so much danger that comes after he's dead, since he's been gone. Now, when I say the white society has whitewashed history, there is a reason behind this, okay? The true reason is being done is because white social scientists theorize that a people's future is predestined by the history they're taught to believe about themselves. According to the theory, inspiring history is necessary to acquire an inspiring future, okay? Because people reference their future capability based upon their past achievements, okay? More specifically, people function based upon the narrative they're taught to believe by themselves, okay? It's in fact more than a theory. There are many studies that show that people function based upon what they're taught to believe by themselves. It's extremely important. So what the white society has done to inspire their future, their people, they've separated themselves from the primates, and they've created the narrative that they're the highest evolved Homo sapiens. And their people are functioning based upon the narrative that they are the highest evolved Homo sapiens. It's a social science. Now, according to the science, truth doesn't matter. What only matters is what's perceived as truth, because people function based upon their perceptions rather than what's actually true. So through these distortions of the facts, white people are functioning based upon the fact that they're the highest evolved, and millions of black people are functioning based upon the fact that they're the lowest evolved. The collective self-esteem of the white society has been falsely bolstered at the expense of the collective self-esteem of the black society. It is a social science that aids in maintaining white dominance into the future. And all of this is connected to when we talk about critical race thinking. We have to understand why they distorted the past. They distorted the past to give their people a foundation. Okay, you know, whatever they talk about, when you go to the museums in Europe, All the ancient artifacts come from Africa. There's nothing in Europe, okay? But they create the illusion. Well, the Egyptians were up. They've given themselves a type of history to make their people feel good about. Because check this out. You can't promote white supremacy if the white masses knew that they were living in caves, but Africans were living in pyramids. You couldn't promote white supremacy if the world knew that it was Africans who educated and civilized Europeans. You couldn't promote white supremacy if the world knew that Caucasians came from primates and Africans are the Homo sapiens. We are functioning based upon distorted narratives that are designed to sustain the system of white supremacy, and it's all relevant to our lives now because it affects our mindset. It affects how we function. We are functioning based upon false narratives that exalts Caucasians and marginalizes us. Until we recognize and separate ourselves from those false narratives, we will not liberate ourselves.
All right, I agree. I agree wholly. You got some, Jay?
Hey, man, boogie woogie, you're on fire, man.
Yeah, he is. I love it.
You know, the bottom line, all that he said sound good, but the practicality is this. What are we going to do today to survive and move forward as a people? And like I said, and like I will say, it don't look too good, bro. It don't look too good, you know. So the romanticism of what the past was may not have nothing to do with the future is, because let's be very, very clear and let's be very, very honest. Most black people don't give a damn about the glory of our past. They can't even function on the day present of surviving. So if we don't do something and figure it out, I think, you know, as my boy Ralph says, we go perish.
Yeah. Well,
and
see,
that's what we're heading for.
I think the reason why, and I'm quite sure you would agree, the reason why the glory of our past is so necessary for us to understand and to embrace is because we did it before. That means we can do it again. But that, because if you've been trained to believe in, which of course Europeans have tried desperately to train to us for and make us believe that we have never done nothing, that we're running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of any substance or any significance,
well,
and nothing could be further from the truth.
The reality is, you know something, oh, in all honesty, the reality is people have an idea of our greatness, but haven't been able to put it into a practical form of how we use it to move forward as a people collectively. That's what the real issue is. How do you move forward? Because in most people's mind, they don't wanna deal with the lessons of the past. They don't wanna deal with the white man has done to us as a people because of the fear that they don't want it to happen to them. That's why you don't see black folks fighting on the level that they were fighting back in the 50s and the 60s. That's why you don't see people collectively coming together. I mean, it's so bad right now, I'm sorry to say, for black people, we don't even have community.
No.
We don't even have neighborhoods.
No, we got hoods.
Have
we don't have neighborhoods because we're not very neighborly. We only have hoods.
Really collective, bro.
Yeah.
Every group is moving. You know something? To even make it more blunt on you, bro. Every other ethnic group is basically using the principles that we tried to put forward for our survival. Think about that statement right there.
Brother Franklin, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to reply to something he was saying. You notice when the brothers speak, like many, we have these negative narratives about ourselves. We just put a negative narrative about ourselves. But the reality is, we don't know anything about our collective state that doesn't come from white people. The white society controls our narrative, our media images, so therefore they control how we perceive ourselves. Our image of ourselves. Allow me to
talk to somebody like me, bro. Don't do that.
Allow me to finish.
Because you know I know
hold
better.
Up. Hold up.
You know I know way more than the average Negro.
Hold up. Hold up, Jay. Let him finish, Jay. Hold up. Go ahead.
Those who control what we believe are those who are benefited when we believe negative about ourselves. This is our hidden reality. Whenever those who are benefited about us believing negative about ourselves, which is what we believe, they are people believing negative about ourselves. All those negative narratives, that's the control system, okay? And here's why it's important. If knowing the past is not important, trust me, these white people would be fighting so hard against critical race theory. They're pushing against it because they know that the past is a significant factor. Now, presently, many black people graduate from high school believing that they had no history before slavery or the colonization of Africa, because Africans were illiterate and uncivilized before the white man invaded. And this is the narrative that millions of black people are functioning based upon. In order to lift the collective self-esteem of our people must learn the proper narrative. Our people must know that the world's first university was in Africa. The oldest manuscript was in Africa. The world's largest man-made structures are in Africa. The world's first prosthetic is in Africa. The first writing is Africa. The first art is in Africa. The first mathematical tool is in Africa. If you think this is not relevant, think, for example, two black children graduate from high school. One of the black children, the black child, graduates believing that he has no history prior to slavery because Africans were ignorant and uncivilized. And then the other black child knows that Africa civilized the world. Now, who has a better chance in life? The child who goes into the world believing he comes from nothing, or the child who goes to life knowing that his group civilized the world? So don't get it twisted when you think that learning truth history does not benefit us.
Hold on, Franklin.
Let me say one thing. The reason.
Make it quick, because I'm up against time. Make it quick. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. The reason why most of us don't recognize how the past is relevant to the future, because most of us don't know social science. The ignorance of the oppressed is the oppressor's greatest weapon. So to elevate the oppressed, we must educate the oppressed. There's a social science. That's what a white man is fighting so hard against critical race theory, because that's how he maintains white dominance.
Okay, brother Jay, go ahead.
Explain to me, based on what you just said, Clarence Thomas, because Clarence Thomas probably knows just as much black history as you do. And look at what Clarence Thomas has done. It doesn't apply to everybody. Franklin, the reality is you have people who understand exactly what you're saying who can't deal with it, who don't deal with it, who don't put it into practice. Then you want to talk about critical race theory. Let me explain this to you right quick. This is where we sometimes make the mistake. This is where we get slightly lost. In dealing with critical race theory, one has to understand that the backlash to critical race theory is to keep whiteness in control and power, and to do more to control their own wayward bound family members from going away from the herd than it do from uplifting black people. Always remember in the 60s that it was a great deal of white people who were awakening to the nature of the white man and his barbaric, sick nature that they turned away from to assist people of color. Now you have an interreaction between the races on a level to where, as if those white kids learned the truth about their forefathers,
they would maybe act and behave in a different manner. That's what white folks are really scared of. That's what you call evolution.
Okay.
You see, we're not catching that part of the whole equation with critical race theory. Because remember, if white people start to behave and change the way that they act, which is a hard thing to do, because, you know, it just ain't in the nature of a cracker. It changes how the situation manifests forward. Nah, bro.
Okay.
It's much deeper than what we think it is.
All right.
Because remember, if a white person starts acting like a human, oh, man.
Okay.
It'd be wow.
Okay, Jay.
My brother
Franklin, go ahead. You have the last word.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You know, when we don't understand socializing, we have these perceptions. The reason why we have Clarence Thomas, because as long as the white man controls the education we're taught in the NBC, he's going to always be able to socialize black people to think in ways that benefit from white supremacy. That's by design, okay? And the reason why whites are not, we have a situation we're in now, because of a system that was implemented in 1968 to address the unprecedented unified black protest. Black protest in 1960s is unprecedented and remains unrivaled by any other group in U.S. history. So they developed a system to socialize us to think in ways that support and benefit the system of white supremacy. Our society has been socially engineered. Once you understand social engineering, then you see what I'm saying. And everything we talk about is relevant to critical race thinking. The white man's power is that he controls his monopoly over the narratives that affect society. And he feeds these narratives that benefits and helps to sustain white supremacy. And he don't want to relinquish his power over narratives.
All right. All right, my brothers and sisters, thank you. Thank you, Brother Franklin, as always, my friend. Thank you, Brother Jay, and all those who listen. We have other callers.
Hey, it was good to hear Boogie Woogie Jones.
I know that's right. Okay, family. All right, dear brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bif Horie. Bif Horie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Bibi Fahodie. All right. Peace, family. Hope to see you on Friday. My Friday guest will be Brother Bomani Tahemba talking about, oh, okay. Brother Bomani Tahemba.